congregation, there are three parts in true comfort. And I want to deal with the woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any. This is what it means, congregation. We see her misery. That's first. We see her faith, and we see the glorious outcome of it. For she had to make a testimony. She couldn't just escape. The Lord Jesus says, tell what has been done to your soul. And she started to tell everything, says the Bible. Well, congregation, before we sing, before we hope to listen to the Word of God, let's sing 77, the stanza 1 through 5. O Lord, by thee delivered, I thee with thongs extol. My foes thou hast not suffered to glory or my fall. 1 through 5, 77. Congregation, this woman had a feeling knowledge of her misery. This woman had a feeling, and I say it again, knowledge of her misery. She was unclean. It didn't. It didn't make her sad that she was sick, but she wasn't healed. She wasn't clean. And what I want to say, congregation, is she had, and I say it for the third time, a feeling experience of her uncleanness.
Hello, we are not available.
We're all unclean, says the Bible.
Give your name and phone number after the beep.
And our righteousness is as filthy rags. But do we know it by experience? Not as a mark, but as a power. For the kingdom of God is not in words, but in power. We need to know in an experimental way that we are unclean in the sight of God, abhor ourselves, and need restoration. This woman, in hindsight, has been sick for 12 years. Came a day that it normally went like the other women. But that day it didn't stop. She must have been very weak. But that's not the problem, congregation. If a woman is like she was, she wasn't allowed to go to the church. She was cut off from the ministry of reconciliation. She was an unclean woman. She had such an uncleanness, congregation, that whatever she touched was made unclean. And not only that it in itself was made unclean, but if someone else would touch the knob of her door, he would be unclean. So around her house, let's say, was a big circle. Don't touch. Don't visit. Don't come along. Oh, what a sad and poor creature. She had to leave all her family members. They couldn't live with her anymore. Do you know what I'm saying? And all the family members had to say, we can only speak from distance, dear, but I won't visit you. I can't come to you anymore. Separate, separated from all her friends, from all her family members, living a lonely social life. But that wasn't the worst. She couldn't go to the temple anymore. She was like a cast out woman. On the board of the temple door was said, if an unclean enters through this door, she has or he has to be killed. The law was upon her soul heavy, condemning. And congregation, you can see that in those 12 years, she went to all kinds of doctors. The Talmud, that's an explanation of the Old Testament, had all kinds of medicine for those women. One of the medicine was, and I give it, gum of Alexandria. The Talmud says you have to take gum of Alexandria. I don't know what it means, but probably you have to grind it and take it. Or the Talmud says you have to use Persian onions. The Talmud, the Jewish tradition, there is something in it. You have to drink wine and other drink together. But the Bible says not only that, what she did and tried, but it didn't help. She spent a lot of money. I believe when you're sick, I had in my congregation a woman, she had the sickness of Besnier-Bouc. Never heard about it. But it seems to be that it gives extensions on your skeleton. It can be in your lungs. Never heard about it. But she told me that in Dordrecht, in some of the cities in the Netherlands, there is a doctor specialist in this sickness. I wouldn't have heard it. Why not? I wasn't sick with the sickness of Besnier-Bouc. What I want to say is, if you're sick, you seek a doctor. You seek medicine. For 12 years. Do you know, congregation, I believe she has tried it. She has prayerfully tried it. There might have been in her life sometimes a hope, now I have the best doctor in the world. Couldn't be healed. You know why? This sickness had her to bring to the Lord Jesus. All could have been that the best doctor in the world could have healed any woman as a means in the hands of the Lord. But her, she couldn't be healed until she was brought to the healer of body and soul, the Savior of the world, the Lord Jesus. Hindsight, I know. Did she know the Lord Jesus? No. In Mark 5 it said that she had heard of him later. 12 years. You know what I found out, congregation, and I hope you understand me, she was prepared to be a vessel of mercy. You see that there is a preparation before you come to know the Lord Jesus. You see it? The one might need 12 years. The other 3 hours. And we sang already, huh? One night in wrath. And a life in mercy. But my dear congregation, what I have to say to you young people, you have to have a feeling, and I say it with surety. You have a need a feeling experience of your uncleanness, guilt, and debt. Oh, the Lord Jesus could have visited her way before, but she had to come to an end of her wallet, to an end of the rope. In the Greek it said she had spent her whole, and now I say it in the Greek, life. The man, the woman, had in a spiritual sense lost her life, her hope. What a glorious day, eh? And an elder in one of my congregations, he said, I have fought a bit, he said, to get lost, to be saved. I tried to grasp when I sucked a flat along the dike in the water. I tried to get hold of all the grass. It broke down. Don't you see it's a wonder that when she came to a life end, it's translated here, and which had spent all her living, but in the Greek it said bion means life. She had spent her life, not earlier, not later. Do you know, congregation, the last penny was lost out of the wallet. And there has come a time in her life, do you know, that she said to the Lord, Lord, it's over with me and I deserve it. She had spent all her life. In a spiritual way, my dear congregation, there are people, they know the sickness of sin, but they don't know how to heal or to be healed. They try everything. First go by the law, payment, seeking, doing, own works, duties of religion. Might be very serious. Legalistic repentance, tears, to get what you want. There are people who have cried a lot, but only self-interest. Never because of the gospel. Never because of faith. Never because of sin. Outward, and I've tried it too. Outward humiliations. I've tried to creep in my study on the floor. And I said, Lord, teach me to be a worm, and I didn't become a worm. It didn't help me. In one of my congregations, that a lady told that after a wrestling of a night, the Lord visited her. A very serious man in the congregation said that I've tried it the same night, to wrestle the whole night. Do you know what happened? Halfway, I fell asleep. I said, glorious thing. God be praised for it. No doctor. No medicine. No action. No work. No payment. No tears. We have to come to the end of self and another. To confess that we have sinned and that from our side there is no hope. She had spent. God waited for the last dime. Pastor, I don't like this sermon. It doesn't matter. This is how God works. He cuts off. All legalistic. Self work. Before he reveals his son. Outward reformation. Changed my life. My wife should be better. Do some more visits with the people of God and have no peace. Press my children in a harness. You know? I know it. And no help. No help. But I read congregation which had spent all her living, all her life, upon physicians, neither could be healed of any. Neither could be healed of any. Do you know what I want to say? It's a special, strange word might be. Hallelujah. I won't say it so much, but here I say it. If she had been healed by a doctor, she would have missed the Lord Jesus. You know what I'm saying? When her tears had saved her, she wouldn't have had the knowledge of the eternal Savior from sin and uncleanness, the Lord Jesus. Oh, congregation, listen. God doesn't cooperate with a sinner in salvation. It's free, sovereign grace. One-sided. Three. Three union, three persons in the Trinity will do it. Yeah. Oh. It's a bitter way. It's struggling against you lost. And I know what it is. It's better to be broke than to go broke, isn't it? You look to this bank account and to that bank account and you have that credit card and that credit card. And it's the last day. Dear Diane, it's over now. I'm lost. But God is righteous. And there you sink. There you sink. Between the law of God and your own conscience, you sink. You sink. And I go to Mark. Mark 5. Mark writes it in 26, verse 26, and suffered many things of many physicians. In those days, they cut your veins to let blood go away. The man said, the woman had suffered a lot too, but let's pass that. Which had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. That is it. But then 27. And when she had heard of Jesus, God's time, God's ways. And when she had heard of Jesus. Faith is by the hearing of the word. Then she had heard of Jesus. Then she had heard of Jesus. What a sound. What a hope. What a goodness. What a wonder. When she had heard of Jesus, Jesus' his name means the Savior from sins. She had heard probably about the healing of the lepers. Impossible to heal them. And she had heard of Jesus. Oh, congregation, may I ask you, do you know it, having a feeling knowledge of your misery when you for the first time heard of Jesus? Do you know that day? The first time in your misery that you heard of Jesus. I know it. You know, I like to stick to my seat in the church, hear more about him. And they preached him as a God-given Savior. As a payment for all the guilt and debts of the people of God. And when she had heard of Jesus, oh congregation, do you remember the first day when you heard of Jesus? Was there not a longing, a desire? And you went out of the church, and the devil said, it's not for you. It's impossible. Probably you said, I'm not going to church anymore. But when the next Sunday comes, you're going again. Put on your coat. Take on your shoes. And do you know what you want to hear then? About Jesus. Oh, and probably it's not yet applied, isn't it? But when you hear about him, he takes in all your soul and all your heart. And you start to cry after him. Said, oh Lord, I've heard thou hast healed others. Oh, heal my poor soul. From all my filthiness, from all my sins, from all my uncleanness. You heard about Jesus. I've said to you before that sometimes we speak a lot about the thirst and the need of salvation. But when we speak about the thirst for God, we should speak also about the fountain to drink. We have to lift up the Lord Jesus, and he will draw sinners, needy, guilty to him. That's preaching. Preaching is lifting up the Lord Jesus for lost and undone sinners. And my dear congregation, I come back again and I say you need a feeling experience of your misery by the spiritual law of God, uncovering your uncleanness from top to bottom. We're all as an unclean, and our righteousness are as filthy rags, says the Lord. Do you know it feelingly? Have you felt it to be severed from every people? Are you not able to go to the worship of the world? Are you sitting sometimes alone in your room? And say, don't touch my house anymore, it's dirty here. Are you? And when she heard, everyone in such a situation knows what she heard. A glorious word. a fountain of water for a thirsty soul. You know, my dear congregation, I've said probably, you say it's not for me, but you can't leave your... In the Netherlands, the Dutch Reformed Church, you had in the past liberal congregations next to Orthodox. And an elder in a liberal congregation, big church, had to make all kinds of wooden separations. And they were sitting in the church with, let's say, 30 people. But the neighboring church was full packed. And he always thought, what's the problem with my congregation? I don't know what's going on. And he said one Sunday to his wife, he said, next Sunday I'm going to that old-fashioned Orthodox congregation. I'm going there, he said. She says, don't do it. You won't sleep tonight. But he went. He said to his co-elder, he said, this morning I'm not there. I'm with that old-fashioned congregation. I'm going there. And do you know what happened? The Lord touched his heart. You are the man. David, sinner. And he came home crying, lost, and he couldn't sleep. You know what he said to his wife? His wife said, I told you. He said, yes, I'm not going anymore. That's over. But before it was Lord's Day, he put on his clothes. And again he went. And they preached to him Jesus. And God severed his bonds. Wonderful, eh? And then he said, we need such ministers, he said. And the Lord gave him one. And the one separation or division was taken away, and the other was taken away. And God filled the pews to hear of Jesus for lost and undone sinners. And she heard of Jesus. Congregation, in every sermon should be the fullness of Jesus. In every sermon should be spread abroad his glory, his willingness, his grace, his sufficiency, his mercy. Isn't it? Is that not what you're longing for, child of God? To hear about Jesus? Children? And she heard of Jesus. Faith is active. Faith is active. Faith is a gift, that's first. But the Bible says, we believe. God doesn't believe for us. Faith is active. Faith in its activity, is refuge taken. It flees to the city of refuge. Faith doesn't sit still. Although it has to wait sometimes. But it's active. Faith is an exercise. By the grace of God. I said first a gift. Then an exercise. How do you know? Well, the Lord revealed to her, I don't know how God did it, that if she would touch the hem of his garment, she would be healed. God promised her. Why the hem of his garment? Well, the hem of in his garment was a blue thread. And you can read it in the scriptures, that blue thread. You can read it in Leviticus. or in Numbers 15, if you want to remember it, Numbers 15, 38 and 39, the Jew had to have a blue or purple thread in the hem of his garment, and it meant holiness. Well, that thread condemned every Jew. And what do I learn of it? Well, that the Lord Jesus had such a thread in his garment. Why do you say this? Well, the Lord Jesus fulfilled the ceremonial law. He walked according to the ceremonial law, Yota and Tittle. Don't say to me that the Lord Jesus didn't walk according to the ceremonial law. He had to fulfill the law. That threat would condemn every Jew, although they didn't know. For they were not holy. They thought they were holy. Or righteous. But it didn't condemn the Lord Jesus. He said, who can convict me or convince me of sin? No one could. Now what did that woman do? She took refuge to the righteousness of Jesus. Touching the hem of his clothes. She had not. See, that lady was taught by the Lord that she was unclean, and there was a reason. Sin. Unrighteousness. She was sick. Unclean. And the cause was sin. And she needed to be cleansed. As an unclean by the righteousness of the Lord Jesus. As he touched the hem, the blue thread in the hem. Congregation, if we would be given the righteousness of the Lord Jesus, we would have peace with God. And if it and when it you is given you, you will experience the peace of God. Not the righteousness of works. She had tried it for 12 years and it grew worse. But the righteousness of the finished work of the Lord Jesus, his holiness, his cleanness, his undefiled holiness. She needed it. And she touched it. Do you know what she said? If I touch the hem of his clothes, I will be healed. Who has taught her? The Lord. How? She do more than all the Pharisees. If God teaches you, you know more than all the Pharisees. That woman was taught by the Lord that there is an end to the law, and the end of the law is Jesus by faith. What a wonder, eh? And she took refuge. She didn't say, now let's try it. It might help. That's what people say today. Doesn't it make progress? Then it might be, yeah, you never know. It might be good. That's not faith. She said, when I touch the hem of his garment, of his linen priestly garment, he was wearing a linen priestly garment. He says, if I touch it, I will be healed, she said. That's faith. She had it before she had it. Huh? God's people have it before they have it. They have it in faith. Never heard about such a thing. I know it. The Lord says, walk around the city of Jericho. In the last day, 7 times. And you know what you have to do? To rejoice. Before the wall fallen. They had it before they had it. In faith. That's a gift of God. Now it can be superficial faith, Pastor. Yeah. But Abram believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. And he didn't see a syllable of it. Everything testified against it. But he believed it. And God counted it him for righteousness' sake. God has bound faith to salvation. It's a gift. It's an exercise. It's a refuge taken gift to Christ and his righteousness. And you don't see in yourself a syllable of it. You grow worse and you're unclean. But you flee. But there was kind of fear. What was the fear? Congregation, to be healed, she had to make the Lord Jesus unclean. Listen to what I'm saying. To be clean, she had to make the Lord Jesus unclean. Isn't it strange? Luther said, faith is changing. He my uncleanness, he my sins, he my guilt, and I his cleansing power of the blood and his righteousness. He my sins, I his righteousness. God takes the uncleanness of the woman, laid it upon Jesus, and he took the cleansing blood of the Lord Jesus and applied it to her heart, and she was suddenly healed. Suddenly. In a moment, healed, and the blood stopped. But congregation, not only that the woman touched him from the backside of his, she feared. And she tried to walk away of it. She was healed. And then the Lord Jesus turns himself and he said, where is the woman? Yeah. And trembling and fearing, she appeared. I thought about it. It's always, for me, has been a very difficult portion. Why trembling and fearing while she was healed? Why trembling and fearing? You would say there's no fear anymore, no trembling. But congregation, when I thought about it, she threw herself through all the people around. She had to press to come to the Lord Jesus. Do you know what she did? She made all the people around her unclean. And when she had to tell that she was healed and what happened in her life, people might be angry at her. So fearing and trembling, she came at his feet. Grace doesn't make big man. Small, low. And she told what happened to her soul, what happened in her life, congregate. She told what happened in her life. That's what Mark says. He turned him about the Lord Jesus in the presence, said, who touched my clothes? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. She started to tell what happened, how dirty she was, how unclean, how lonely, how without God and without hope. And everyone had to hear it. If God converts a sinner, He does it for his own glory, and she had to testify. And if she didn't, the stones of the street would do it. But she feared. And congregation, I thought a long time about it. Now, all those people were touched and were unclean by her uncleanness. Did they turn to Jesus? Why not? They had not a feeling experience of it. They all knew they were unclean when they had heard it, but it mattered them nothing. Never come to the end of the law. Never come to a hopeless situation. Never come to accept judgment. Never be made ready for a full Savior. Reformed in doctrine, knowing that they were unclean, but no need, no hunger, no thirst. May I ask you, young people, do you know you're unclean? That you're separated from God, His people? That you're without hope and without God in the world? Do you know it? Yeah, Pastor, I know it. Yeah, you know it. I last preached again in my first congregation, Deer Brook. Liberal lady once came in that congregation. I know where she sat, somewhere in the midst there. No head covering. Sunday after Sunday, morning, afternoon, she came. I preached for her. I felt. But I was afraid to go and see her. But after 3 months, I couldn't resist anymore. And I took my car and I asked where she lived. And I touched the door and I knocked at the door. And I said, "Can I come in?" And she said to me, "Pastor, why did you stay away so long? Lost, lost, lost forever." Said, "What happened, dear?" She said, "You preached the law, and every commandment was a cut down of my tree. Lost." We talked a bit. I couldn't help her. I pointed to the Lord Jesus. For sure. The last day of that year, 12 o'clock, 5 minutes to 12, the phone rang. "Pastor," I said, "what is it, dear?" She said, "I can't go into the new year without Jesus." She said, "Can you tell me where I can find him?" And he found her. She had a feeling experience of her misery. And God wiped away her tears. But how many are touched outwardly by such a woman and are unclean, knowing it by the law, knowing it by head, but not by heart? For the kingdom of God is not in words, but in power. You understand me? You might have a right dogmatic knowledge of all the truth, but never had a sigh to to be reconciled. You might not have all the truth in right order in your head, but a sigh for the living God, and He will answer you. God knows your needs, and He will fill that empty reed of your misery with Christ. My dear congregation, and they were touched and she feared, but there was no room for Jesus, they left Him. How long are you dead? Have you tried all doctors? No. Doesn't matter so much, eh? That you lost. No feeling power in it. Never touched by the spirituality of the law, the spiritual law that convicts you and gives you sorrow for God and to repentance. My dear congregation, but she could tell what God had done in her life, about her misery, about her helplessness, about her inner condemnation, about the day that she heard about Jesus and that the Lord taught her how to approach Him, touching His hem, needing His righteousness. And she was made clean by the grace of God. Daughter, He didn't say woman, He said daughter, child of God, daughter. Sister. No, daughter. Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith had made thee whole, perfect, healed, whole in the sight of God. Go in peace. Peace with God that surpasses all understanding. Go. You're free. You're healed. Go home. I'll take you home. You're mine. And I'm yours. Go home in peace. What a peace. Through the blood of Jesus. No sins. Clean. Healthy. Partaker of the sacrifice of the Lamb. Peace through the blood of the Messiah. Peace with your enemies. Peace with God. Go. Peace. Feeling peace. Feeling peace. Peace here. Do you know what's peace? Such a rest you have never experienced. Such a rest. No doctor, no consultation, no sickness, no loneliness, no hell, but God, peace. And one way, don't we need this all? By the grace of God. Yes, we do need it. Misery. Salvation. Thankfulness. Low. Praising Him forever and ever. And ever. May the Lord bless His word. Amen. Let's go. Lord, that we might have these things by experience. The one might need 30 years. the other 3 days. Dear woman 12. To come to the end, to accept judgment. And then thou hast accepted her in judgment, to be a judgment for her. Set her free, go in peace, peace with God, that surpasses all understanding, Lord, we pray that we might know these things, feelingly, experimentally, to praise thee. And if it has been for long, that we forgot the taste, although that people never forget the taste, they know the smell, they know the joy, they know the brokenness of heart under it, the glory of his name. Be with us. We hope to meet each other again Saturday, Lord, and bless the congregation. I again ask, be a blessing unto the mission, but send also a servant to this congregation, please. They need it, Lord. I've seen it. The young and the old. Send one who don't and doesn't run himself, please. For Jesus' sake, we ask it.